Just wanted to go over what we did on Yontif on the Navi. So we did Yecheskel and the Navi of the Atzamos Ayaveshos, the famous Navu of Yecheskel and Navi, and then also we said something on the on Yeshayahu, the Navi Yeshayahu, on the Yeshayahu's Navu of the Malach HaMashiach. Okay. So the first thing, let's say, we do is in the Navi of Yecheskel. So we mentioned over there, there's Machlekes, well-known Machlekes Chazal, whether or not it really occurred, this Nevuah, that the bones were converted into living human beings, and it's Pshuto K'mashmo'o, it actually occurred, or whether it's only derech mashal. Okay, so you have machlekes among Chazal. So Yesh was Radak brings up. Yesh was a machlekes of Chazal. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mesim Shehechia Yecheskel Omdol Raglehem V'Omru Shira. Okay, then it says that's one. Then Rabbi Yud Omer Bemis Mashal Oya. No, it was really a mashal. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher Rabbi Yosef Gliliam and Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel Olul Eretz Yisrael. They went to Eretz Yisrael and Nosu Noshim Volidu Bonim Ubonos. They had children. Amad Rabbi Yudah ben Besera Al Raglo V'Oma Ani Mibnei Bneihem. V'Alolu Tfilin Shehiniach Li Yavi Abba Mehem. And these are the tefillin from them. It's machlekes about whether it really occurred or whether it was a maranavor. So of course the question is, if Rabbi Yudah ben Besera says that these are the tefillin, so what's the question? How can you have machlekes like that? You have similar machlekes in Chazal that, for instance, was ben Sera mara lohev aloi nivra, and then I think Rabbi Meir says that he was by his kever, so his kever. Of course, the way to understand the Machlekes Chazal like that, is simply that we have a halachic system that we go by, and we really don't accept anything unless it's less al pidin. You don't accept anything unless you have real edus, and there was no real edus on these things. There was a shmua about it. So in halacha, under certain conditions, we give credence to a shmua. You see, like the Gemara says, if you see that in certain areas, you see that somebody's misani shmuase, so you look into it. Of course, under the only conditions you accept the call is if you see that there's no other reason for the call. People talk against other people all the time. That's simply lashon hara. So, but there are certain variables there. So basically, there was a mesorah like that, like in the case of the ben Sera mara, there was a mesorah like that, but it wasn't. It wasn't relatus. So generally speaking, we accept. Here, Misora, this basis you assume is correct. But the mandama that holds lohoyav lo nivra, he holds because theoretically, the way he understood the parsha of Ben Sera Mora, it was clear to him from the structure of the halacha of Ben Sera Mora that it was a phenomenon that was only theoretically possible, but not practically. Okay, there's certain phenomena that are theoretically possible and not practically. Like I mentioned, it's theoretically possible for the table to lift up in the air, according to our knowledge of science. But it's not practical. Practically, it won't happen. So theoretical and practical are two different worlds. So basically, the reason why you have machlokas over there is because if theoretically you can maintain that it is possible that there was a Ben Sera Mara, so then you'd go by the Shmua. But if you hold theoretically, according to your knowledge of halacha, that such a thing is not possible because the halacha was created specifically to have a case which is only possible in theory and never to occur in practicality, if that's your understanding of the parsha of Ben Sarah Mara, so then you have to deny it. I don't care if you tell me this is scary, you have to deny it. I just want to show you how Machlekes of Chazal works in such instances. You see, how Machlekes like that, what's the underlying pivotal point of the Machlekes? Because it has to, you have to understand how it makes sense, a Machlekes like that. The same thing is true over here. But the Mandama that holds, Rabbi Ben Maser said, and even Nebunov, I mean, it doesn't mean that he had ate his Gemuras, Nebunov, so then there's no question about it. But there was a Shmuel like that, and the way he interpreted the Parsha, his understanding of the Parsha was that it is Pshuto Kama Shmuel, so therefore he gave credence to the Shmuel, to the Masora. But the other mandamrim, that whole law that never occurred, it's a marinavua, it means based on their understanding, on their in-depth understanding of the parsha, it could not have been, it was not an actual occurrence. So therefore, I don't care about the shmur anymore. If your mind tells you, and your understanding of the parsha tells you that it was not an actuality, but it was it had to be understood as a marinavua, so then, of course, I mean, you have to reject the shmua that Rav Yehuda ben Becerra was Nebunov. So basically, we don't know, okay? We don't know. But the both parts, as far as we're concerned, I mean, we don't know, and therefore you have machlokes. So you have to be able to approach the parsha with both possibilities, all right? With both possibilities. So the possibility, I mean, that it is a mare hanavua has to be understood as well as the possibility that it was an actuality. Okay. So the question that we raised is that if it is an actuality, so we understand the parsha. So the parsha is describing an event that occurred, a miraculous event, Ches HaMesim, that occurred in the time of Yecheskel Ben Buzi. But if you say that it's simply a mare hanavua, so the question is, why do you need it for? What do you need it for? What was the objective of this mare hanavua? Okay, because the end of the mare hanavua, what does it say? It states that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, means to tell them. So what is that referring to? So that's referring to what was the message, and what was the message that he was instructed to give? So the Radak explains that he says, Zeu mashal l'chol beis Yisrael shehoyu begolos zeh kamo ad shenoashu min ha'geula v'omru yovshu atzmosenu v'ovdo sikvosenu klom arei anu ka'atzomos yivesho she'en lamo tikva. Okay, so he says like this. He says, what is the just one second. So the way the Radak explains, it means like this. It means because all the years that Klal Yisrael was in Golos, so all the people that died in the various times of the Golos and suffered the fate of the Goyim, through the Goyim of Misa, so that is something which is disturbing. because it means that they were unable to, because of their situation, they were unable to attain the Gula. So the Navi was saying that those people, that's really what the Navi was about. That all the people that died throughout the Doros and the Gulas, that eventually they will be Omer al Aglehem and they'll be Zocha to see the Gula. That's really the essence of the Nevoah. Yeah, it was Zel Moshe Limin. Zel Moshe Chobesho Shehoyah Begola Zeh. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But he says it more explicitly somewhere else. Ala Mason B'chutz Loretz. He says Machlekes. Mehem Amru Ki B'chutz Loretz Yalo Mekivro Seyem or Mehem Amru So he doesn't know by the Mechilos. He also they'll get up in Chutz Loretz and then they'll go to Eretz Yisrael, because the Pasuk says Kimo Mesa Eretz Yisrael, that they're all going to get up, but the ones from Chutz Loretz will simply travel. Shrei Omar Paseches Kivra Sechem, that Lacey Eschem Mikivra Sechem, Vachkach Levesi Eschem Alad Mas Yisrael. So basically, I mean, that's really what the whole Nevuah was about. The Nevuah was to tell Klal Yisrael that even though it's a long gullus, and even though individuals suffered death and horrible fate, but eventually the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prevail, and they will eventually come to Eretz Yisrael. That's really what the Nevuah is about. That concept. And the Radak explains. He says, Radak explains. Says the pasuk says, "V'nasati ruchi vochem v'chiyisem, v'inachti eschem al admaschem." So the Radak says, "Zer ruach hasechol, kemosha pirashnu." He says, "Kikivin shama valosi eschem arei ruach hayim." He says, "Valosi eschem." It means they're going to live. Kilo yisnoa ha'adam below ruachan. A person can't move unless he has life. In kain masha omar achkach v'nasati ruchi bochem. When the pasuk says later again v'nasati ruchi bochem al ruach hasechal omar, says referring to the ruach hasechal. V'evtichom sheyitein bohem deyo uvino v'haskel. And the avtacha was that they will receive das understanding and wisdom v'lo yechetu od. Okay. Kemoshe Yodom Gamkein Voma Kikulum Yedu Osi Limikatnam Vad Gidolam. So he says that that is referring to the Ruach HaSechel, that the ultimate Gula will take place with the Ruach HaSechel. I mean, I think that itself is significant. Because, I mean, you always hear these various things. I mean, now it's been brought to my attention about the Dibuk in Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, the Navi says, we got it, Daniel. It says in the end of Daniel, I mean, it says it in a few places. It says, for instance, in Daniel Yud Aleph Yud Dalid, it says, "Vo'itim Mohaim, Rabim Yamdu Al Melech HaNegev, Uvnei Paritzei Amcha Yinasu Lahamid Chazon V'Nafshalom." And again he says, "Yisboru Vayom Aleich Daniel Kistum Vachasum Advar Mareis Kates Yisboru V'Yislabnu V'Yitzor For Rabim V'Hirshiu Rishoyim V'Hirshiu Rishoyim V'Lo Yavinu Kol Rishoyim V'Amaskilim Yavinu." So it means to say, so the pasuk says clearly, Rashi says V'Hirshiu Rishoyim Etzachashbonos Lachashvam Shalokim Mishpat U'Kishi Yichlu Yamru Eino Dula V'Lo Yavinu Osam Kol Rishoyim V'amaskilim yavinu asa bebo ace cakes. Yeah. V'yashir Roshoyim, he says, v'yitzfufu rabim ratzaloma rabim yachshivu ashe yetzeh cheshbonam tzorafu mezukok mibli shkia. V'yashir Roshoyim b'avurze yashir Roshoyim lomar hov labam shir. Yeah. V'lo yavinu lasdov v'tayas cheshbon. V'amaskilim yavinu lasdov v'tayas cheshbon v'lo yashmad. Okay. So I mean, you have to understand that the Navi already predicted these kind of events, that people will will Bnei Paritza Amcha, that these false events. But there's one way to tell when you hear something whether or not it has any value, and that's what the Radak says. Is it what kind of a ruach is it? Is it a ruach haseichel that you hear? Is it a ruach, like he says, a ruach sheitin b'hem deyo bino v'haskel? So if it's a ruach haseichel, I mean, that's one thing. But the ruach shtus, nonsense, you can hear right away. I mean, so you know it's right away shtus rabbi. So it's unfortunate. I mean that every now and then, I mean these things crop up. But if you look at the Navi, and the Navi again and again, I mean, tries to emphasize one point, and that is that everything has to be al pisechel and das. If it's not, that's, as a matter of fact, I mean, I think the problem is, I don't think the world recognizes what a ruach hasechel is. See, and I'm serious. Because in order to know what it is, you have to know what sechel is. A person has to know what chokhmah is. A person never engaged, if a person spends their life in nonsense and never really engages with chokhmah, they can't identify it. They don't know what it is. Chokhmah has a certain description. So, I mean, it's like by Yecheskel, by the way. So Rashi says that the Sefer Yecheskel really begins in Tezayin. Yecheskel Tezayin. I'm sorry, Yecheskel Yitzayin. Leidvar Hashem Eilai Lemor. Because the beginning of the Sefer of Yecheskel, see, it starts off in a funny way. I mean, it says, Vayi b'shloshim shonu b'avi b'chmish l'chodesh v'ani b'soch agol al nahar kvar. Niftecho ha-shamayim v'era maras olekim. Then it says, b'chmish l'chodesh v'yi ha-shona ha-chmish v'sledol ha-shmol y'ayochim. There's two cheshbonos here. So Rashi explains, Vayi b'shloshim shonu is the divrei novi. But then the Ruach HaKodesh explains where he's coming from. But really, the Sefer doesn't begin over here, because it says, Hoyo hoyo dvar Hashem al Yecheskel ben Buzi HaKoyin, Beretz kazdim al nahar kvar, Vatihi olav shom yad ad Hashem. So really, he was besoch HaGola. So Rashi says, Chazal say that Nevuah is not Shora on a person in Chutz Loretz. So that's what Rashi says, that really the beginning of the Sefer, as Machlokes of the beginning of the Sefer is here, but Rashi holds this, the beginning of the Sefer is Yitzayin, where it says, Ben Odom Chud Chido, Vayid Vashem Eilai Lema, Ben Odom Chud Chido, Mishol Moshol Ol Beis Yisrael. So, of course, the Radak says, what does it mean, Chud Chido? Chido hu adover asosum, Yavinu mimenu dover acher, Vamoshol udimyon adover ledover, Kmo, Ezeh Moshem Shem Shalom Malach, Lanesha, v'hu chida shlo yevinua kol adam elam askilim. Says the chida means a different navi, different chida, different chachma, and very few people understand the different navi. So the navi really begins over there by chud chida. That was really his first instruction was chud chida. So very few people understood. It's an interesting thing. The navi spoke to the rabbin, but very very few people understood what he was saying. Apparently, the Navi didn't care about that. But anyways, see, that's like the Rambam writes in the Sefer. So I don't care if there's one person understands the Sefer already, it's worth it for me to write the Sefer. So the Navi apparently the same thing. There weren't too many people understood what he was saying. And nevertheless, he had a tzivui to say it to everybody. It's an interesting thing. But at any rate, the that's really the beginning of the Sefer. So Rashi explains why. But why is the Sefer begin where it begins? Because ein muktam mumucha b'Torah. What it means is like this, really. First of all, why is it that a Navi only can be Menabe in Eretz Yisrael? What is it? Why only in Eretz Yisrael? What is it? A magical thing that a Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu was not in Eretz Yisrael, the biggest of all. Now, but what it means is, you see, Rashi explains, so how did he have the Nevuah al Nahar Kvar, which is Besoch HaGolah? So Rashi explains that his Tchilas Navi Uso had to be in Eretz Yisrael. Tchilas Navi Uso. So you see already it's not such a simple thing. Not just that Eretz Yisrael is a magical place with the Nevuah Shor. But already there's a qualification because he says openly, Eretz Kazdim al Nahar Kvar. He says, Eretz Kazdim. So the Tchilas Neviyuso has to be in Eretz Yisrael. Why Tchilas Neviyuso? Why is the beginning of the Nevuah have to be in Eretz Yisrael? What's different about the beginning? The answer is the Nevuah that we're talking about over here is a Nevuah of Shlichas. There's a Nevuah of Shlichas, like the Rambam explains. There's different kinds of Nevuah. There's a Nevuah where a person is on a level that he receives Nevuah and his Seichel is Nesrachev and he sees things that he could never understand through the normal processes of the intellect. He could never originate those thoughts, but his mind is able to perceive them. That's one kind of Nevuah. But then there's a Nevuah of Shlichus. So the Nevuah of Shlichus can only start in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason is very simple. Because the Nevuah of Shlichus is tied to the Schus Avos. And Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz of the Avos. That's just a little bit of learning in Sefer Bereishis that makes that clear.
How about
the Moshe Rabbeinu? So that's different. Because before to establish, that's what I'm telling you, it's not a magical thing that has to be in Eretz Yisrael. But it means to say that every Navi that was omed after Moshe Rabbeinu, it had to be clear that the shlichus that the Navi had to Klal Yisrael, which was basically the Divrei Navi, as the Rav said, the essence of Divrei Navi is really to tell Klal Yisrael that the Gula will come. That's why it says the schar that you mamin Divrei Navim and Emorim Be'emes. It means the amuna that you have that the Divrei Navim will be fulfilled, like Rashi says. So like Divrei Navim, and that's all I did, Divrei Navim. So it means to say that the shlichus of the Navi always has to be tied to, has to be clear that his Nevuah is tied to the Schus Avos. That's why it has to start. His shlichus has to start in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not a limitation on the process of Nevuah. It's not a limitation on the process of Nevuah. Interesting is that in Sefer Yecheskel, the greatest Nevuah, really, from a personal standpoint, was the beginning, because that's really Maisa Merkava. That's the well-known Maisa Merkava, you see. So that's why he began the Sefer with his greatest Nevuah, you see. But actually, the beginning of the Sefer, chronologically, starts from his first Shlichus, which took place in Eretz Yisrael. So that's basically the basic idea of the framework of Nevuah. But at any rate, so the Nevuah was that eventually no one will be lost ultimately, no matter what fate they suffer because of the as individuals, because of the situation they found themselves in. Many tzaddikim found themselves in various situations. It will all be eventually they will all reap the benefits of the of living the proper life. That's really the essence of Nevuah. So the question, however, is so why did he have to have all this whole Maria Nevuah in order to know that? I mean, all you needed was the last part. L'cheni nove v'amata leim ko'amar Hashem alakim. That's it. That v'aleisi eschem mikiraseichem ami v'aleisi eschem alav mas Yisrael. That's all you need. Why do you have to have all the imagery? What was the purpose of it? It was just to tell the Navi, tell Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives his haftacha that's going to occur. What more do you need? What does he have to have this whole scene? I mean, with the atzamos hayaveshos, if it really occurs, it's not kasha. So you say it's an occurrence. So the Navi is describing an event. But if you're going to say that it didn't occur, but it's simply a Marian of Hua, so what was the purpose of the Marian of Hua? The purpose was that he should go and tell Klal Yisrael that no one's going to be lost, and eventually everyone's going to be in Eretz Yisrael, and they'll have Chochmah and Seichel, and the ultimate Gula will take place. So fine. So what do you need? What do you need the whole scenery for? What do you need it for? There's no reason. The imagery is not necessary. Yeah. So when you take a look, it's interesting. You take a look at the Nevuah. So there's one thing that stands out, and that is in the beginning, because it says,
that
Vine rabos ma'od al penei ha'bitol. Vine yaveshos ma'od. Extremely dry. Vayomer Eli, ben odom, ha'sachyeno ha'tzomos eilo. Will these bones live? Va'omar, ha'reshem olekim, ata yadata. Hashem olekim, you know. Question, what kind of an answer is that? I mean, of course. What is the answer? Hashem olekim, of course. Well, it's a double portion. The Navi doesn't have to say, is not given a question that he answers, Dvarim Pshutim, simple thing. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So, what we said is like this. The Rambam explains that all events in the world can be classified into three groups, insofar as human knowledge is concerned. Things that are necessary, that must occur, and things that are, on the other hand, impossible. A person that understands the laws of nature, he knows certain things are impossible. And then there's the realm of the possible. So, in the realm of the necessary, and the realm of the impossible, a human being can have knowledge of. A human being can study science, and he can know what is necessary. He understands the properties of nature, and he knows this thing will necessarily have to occur. He could also understand those things that are impossible to occur. If his knowledge is correct and accurate, so then he'll know this is just virtually impossible. Can't happen. But the realm of the possible, you see, the realm of the possible, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Listen, in the realm of the possible, there are so many various possibilities in terms of what transpires, the events that transpire, that it's impossible for an individual. A human being is so limited, he only can see the surface, but in terms of what will occur, it's impossible for him to know. So when Yechezkel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu apparently asked Yechezkel in the Mari HaNevuah, he showed him the Atzamos HaYeveshos, and that's why it says V'hinei Yeveshos Ma'od. What is it? I mean, we can't understand what Yechezkel HaNavi saw. Of course, so we always have that when the Navi is describing his Nevuah, you know right away that you can't understand what he actually saw and understood. But nevertheless, it's important for us to get a general picture, something we can understand about it. But we can never understand what he actually saw. But the psukim give you indications on our level to draw certain conclusions. So when it says v'hinei yaveshos ma'od, it means that the scene was such that when he looked at them, they were so dried. That it would be, the question was, is it possible? In other words, the vision that he had was that it would appear to be impossible. That's why it says, Vine Yaveshos Ma'od. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, which realm does this belong to? Insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sharing with the Navi, the ideas of all the events of Klal Yisrael from the time of the Golus until Yemos HaMashiach, until the Gula Asida, he was going through with him the events. You see, I mean, we just use the surface picture, but basically going through the events with him. So he asked him, basically, what do you think? Do you think it's in the realm of the possible, the realm of the impossible, or the realm of the necessary? So he answered, Hashem Elokim Ata Yadata. It means when he saw it, objectively, he was able to say that it is in the realm of the possible. The indication is that without the Mari HaNevuah, he would have thought that it's impossible. You see? So the Mari HaNevuah opened up his eyes and showed him that it is, and then when he saw it objectively, apparently, you see, the Navi is also a human being, and the Navi is is involved in Klal Yisrael as a bus of Adam. I mean, as a bus of Adam. So therefore, there are certain conclusions that he draws because of the fact that he has to be subjective. I mean, the Navi is Metzayer on the Golos. The Navi is personally involved in the Golos. So that the fact that he's subjectively involved prevents him from seeing certain things. Because a human being, like the Rambam says in the beginning of the Mora, he says that a person, he says that real knowledge is like a flash of lightning. He says you can equate individual, you could actually show the level of human beings by how many flashes they have in their lifetime. But he says, but a person has a flesh, and then his nature overpowers him again. So the Nevuah really takes him out of that, the overpowering of his subjective nature. And it brings him into a world, into an objective world. That's the whole idea of Evirani, Hoysolai Yad Hashem, Yatsini Baruch Hashem. It's interesting. Rashi says, why is it Yad Hashem? Why does it say Yad Hashem? Because he says, Nevuah is an overpowering experience. The Navi is it's a lashon kfiya. It's a lashon kfiya. It means that he's kemosha mishtageya. It's like he's like another force is overpowering him. So what does it mean, another force? It means he is removed. He's removed bal korcho from his natural lifestyle, his natural life involvement. That's hoysol layad Hashem. So then when he's placed in the objective realm, and he saw the atzamos in the objective realm, so he was able to say, at Hashem Elokim Ata Yada. It's in the realm of the possible. The realm of the possible, only you know. Ata Yadata. But there's really, I think if you look at the, I mean, I can't prove it, but to me it seems from the semantics of Ata Yadata is another thing. First of all, Ata Yadata means that you know, because only you know, because it's in the realm where only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has knowledge. But secondly, Ata Yadata also means a desire for him to gain that knowledge, some aspect, some modicum of that knowledge. So Ata Yadata also is a statement where he shows that he would like to know as well. I mean, you know, you have the knowledge, and he would like to have the knowledge. So that's really the introduction. That's the introduction to the Nevuah. That's the introduction to the Nevuah. So apparently, the Navi, once he was removed from the realm of the subjective, from the realm of, like the Rambam says, from the realm of where his own nature is overpowering, because that's the way we're constructed. That's the way man is constructed. So then he was able to see it objectively. He was able to see that as possible. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him through the Mari HaNevuah exactly how it can take place and how it will take place. So the rest of the Nevuah is really that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Navi the knowledge, the Ata Yadata. He allowed him into that realm. Aviyani HaMelech Hadorov. He allowed him into that realm where he could also participate in that knowledge. So it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. Why? Because the question is, so what did he have to have that knowledge for? Why did he have to have that knowledge for? Is it the knowledge of the beginning of the Sefer? We understand. That's the greatest knowledge. That's the knowledge of Maisa Merkava. But this knowledge, the knowledge that's based upon the events, the world of the possible, okay, I mean, obviously it's Chachmas Hashem, and Chachmas Hashem is always something which is, which a person receives with great fortune. But it's a different kind of Chachma. It's a different kind of Chachma. If it weren't for the Shlichus, he wouldn't receive this Chachma. So apparently a person could live without that Chachma. Without the chokhmah of Maisa Merkava, it can't exist, because that's really the ultimate level of Yedias Hashem. But this chokhmah of particulars, really, why would the Navi, if it weren't, if it wasn't that he was part of a shlichus, I mean, he wouldn't receive this kind of nevuah. This kind of nevuah is only because of Klal Yisrael. It's only because of Klal Yisrael. So the Navi really, you see, the Navi gained in a sense. So you see, the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to be a Navi because he didn't want to be involved, I mean, with Klal Yisrael. He knew the difficulties, and he knew it would take him away from the ultimate state, so he didn't want to be involved in the Shlichus. But Chazal say that the Navi ultimately gains, that because of the Shlichus, he gains Yedias Hashem that he never would have had otherwise. So ultimately, it's for his benefit. But nevertheless, I mean, why was it necessary for him to have this particular chachma of how, understanding how the whole thing is going to transpire? And then he was able to see the concatenation, the chain of events, and see clearly that it's going to happen. And he had a clear idea that it definitely is going to occur. Why did he have to have that? The answer is because the Navi has to give a message to the people. And in order to convince the people, so you have to have the nivsfasayim, I mean, you have to be able to speak properly. But there are two ways that people convince. One way that people convince others because of their oratory, their ability to speak, and their own self-confidence, their psychological self-confidence, that source of conviction is alien to Navi. That's based on false ideas. For a person, that's really basically this society. So I was like, you have to have confidence in yourself. But this is not a logical thing, because what they're telling the person to do is to try to deny the reality that they may fail. I mean, as long as the person realizes they may fail, why should they have confidence? So confidence is really instructing a person to put aside possibilities that are logical. So that kind of confidence, people who are orators are able to throw themselves into a certain framework and to convince and influence people based upon personality factors. You see, that the Navi does not work that way, and the Navi cannot work that way. The Navi can only convince based upon knowledge. Basically, there's a different kind of confidence that a person has when they have knowledge. Like a physician has confidence when he knows that this medication is going to work. He doesn't have to make any oratory about it. It's a different type of confidence. So really, what the Navi is describing over here, what the Sefer Yecheskel is telling us in this Divrei Nevuah, according to the sheet that it holds, that it wasn't a real occurrence, but it was a Marian Nevuah. The purpose of the Marian Nevuah was so the Navi himself could go and convince the people. But he couldn't convince the people without first having the idea. The idea was necessary. The das was necessary. Once it became an element of das for the Navi, then he can convince others. But as long as it was avtocha, even though it's avtocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even though he knows the avtocha of Hashem has to be true, but apparently the confidence in the message is not the same. Is not the same. Because there's one thing to know that it is true, and even if a person knows it's true, mipi agvura, even though he knows it's definitely going to occur, but that's a different idea. Understanding how it works and what it is a different experience. That's really Yisod of Yahadus. I mean, a person may know the halacha, look at the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. But does the person have to relate to the halacha? He knows it's true. But does he relate to the halacha in the same way as he does after he learns the sugya and really understands the halacha? It's a different part of the personality that's reached, you see. Not a question of, you see, lahavdil gayim are always concerned with that. Is it true? Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? That's a nonsensical kind of a approach. Yahadus, it's a denial of the tzelem alakim. Yahadus recognize that Odom has a tzelem alakim. So even if the Navi knows, even if HaKadosh Baruch would have just told him at the end of the parsha, go tell them this is going to happen. So what's the question? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. So is there any chance it's not going to happen? No, impossible. It has to occur. The divrei Navi is divrei Hashem. Lo yipol davar atzo. I mean, not a word, not a thing will not be true. And it's every single detail will be fulfilled. Yeah, there's no question about that. But that's not Yahadus. What Yahadus shows is that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Navi and promised him it's going to occur, the Navi can't relate to it the same way as he can after he has the idea. Once he has the knowledge and he understands it, then these ideas have a totally different meaning. And the only way the Navi can convey the message fully is only with the real confidence that he has through knowledge and through understanding. That's really what the parsha teaches. Yes. Yeah, there's no question about it. We're not saying that if a person doesn't understand, Chias HaMeisim, it doesn't mean that he's not convinced that it will happen. It doesn't mean that. Yeah, he's convinced a lot, but it's a different kind of conviction. Different kind. If a person would be able to see how Chias HaMeisim works, he would relate to the phenomenon in a totally different way. Yediyah is something which changes. That's the whole objective of Yahadus. It's not simply to know that certain things are going to occur, they're not going to occur. Or in any area, or to know that Allah is this or Allah is that way. That's that's of course, it's a basis. That's Nasa. But if the Nasa, it has to be Nishma. Nishma means it must be on the contrary. You see the reversal, Nasa of Nishma. If you're going to be Nasa ready, so obviously you know. So what do you need Nishma for? But the answer is because after the Nasa, after you're convinced that this is correct, but then it has to be Nishma. Then you have to really understand it. And if you don't go to that level of Yediyah and understanding, then whatever it is, you really can't relate to as an Adam. Because an Adam is a Tzelem Elokim, and it means if the component of Chachma doesn't grasp it, so that means the person does not relate to it. And the whole of Yadus is that an individual should relate to Torah, should relate to the Enos. And he can't relate to it as long as part of him is blocked out, the essential part, which is the Tzelem Elokim, does not understand it. It's impossible for him to relate. Basically, I mean, that's what from this parsha that idea becomes, it becomes clear. Yeah. The only thing you can glean from the Maariv HaNevuah, the way it's described, is that you see clearly that it was broken up into two different components. Because it says like this. It says that it says, come out of Shalom Kimatsum Sala, Hineni Mevi Vacham Ruach Vechisa. Okay, so, alright. So then, the next part should be that's what happened. And it says, Nasati Lechem Gidim, Valesi Alechem Bosov, Akram Telechem Orv, Nasati Vacham Ruach Vechisim, Yidatem Ken Yer Hashem. Okay? So then it should say, that's exactly what happened. But when it says what happened, it breaks it up. It's not exactly the way it has it. It breaks it up. And he basi kasher tu vesi, vayi kol kinovi vine rash, vatikruvu atzamos etzem alatzmo. V'ra'isi vine aleihem gidim uvasar ola, vayikram aleihem or mumola, but v'ruach ein bohem. So he saw, apparently there was it unraveled in two stages. The first stage was the completely physical, but the Navi makes a point of saying v'ruach ein bohem. I mean, if it would have just been like just following what the Dvar Hashem at the outset, so it would have said no. It says the Eidei Karmalayim Gidim Uvasa Yoram Mala v'ruach ein bohem. I mean, that's what it should have been. But no, the Navi says that when v'ra'isi, when I saw the Hine Aleim Gidim Uvasa Olav Ekrolayim Yoram Mala v'ruach ein bohem. Then it says, "Vayomer lai hinovei el ruach, hinovei ven odom ve'amato el ruach, kamar Hashem lekim me'av ruchas ba'y ruach ufri baru me'elu ve'yichyu." Vehina basic asher sivoni v'tovol ve'em ruach v'yichyu, v'yamdu arglayim chayil gadol ma'od ma'od. The Navi makes it clear in the Maariv HaNevuah the way Hakadosh Baruch Hu said it would happen was originally the whole picture. But then Viraisi, when he analyzed it, as it appeared to his mind, he understood it on in two stages. That one stage was the physical events, the physical possibilities. That was one stage that he understood. But then there was a metaphysical causation. It's broken up into two types of causation. One causation is the physical causation, karma lam gidim, and the second is hinove el haruach. So apparently it means that the understanding of how the ultimate geula will come about is broken up into two separate components. The Navi understood. He understood how physically it's going to occur within the laws of nature. That's one. And the second is the metaphysical, the hashgacha that will be responsible for the metaphysical aspect of the of Klal Yisrael. It's two. That's what we could see. I mean, from outside, in terms of what is Nevuah, Maariah Nevuah related to. But there's a difference between knowing that something will occur and how you know it will occur. That's really what I'm saying. So in other words, a person can know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows in Nevuah that this will occur. But when he starts analyzing it, to him it seems impossible. So his mind, to his mind, he can't override his mind, he has to use his chachma. So it doesn't mean that he's not convinced it's going to happen. It means insofar as his analysis from the standpoint of the Tzelem Elokim, it's impossible. It doesn't mean that he thinks it's not going to happen. His mind tells him, Maariah Nevuah, that it will happen. But there's two different, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. There's two different elements in the human mind. And the same thing is true where a person knows that something will happen because he knows the Dvar Hashem. But does that mean that he's in the same position without knowledge as he is with knowledge? Absolutely not. And a person can be in a position where he knows the Dvar Hashem, so he knows it will occur, but to his mind it's impossible. That's not a tata de sasra. Because it's impossible in the analysis of the thing, to him it appears impossible. But he knows that a human being has limitations, so therefore he knows the Dvar Hashem. There's a difference between first-hand knowledge and between secondary knowledge. The Dvar Hashem. Possible? How can that be? Does that mean that you tear out the Rambam? No, you know the Rambam understood it, but your mind and from your analysis it's impossible. But then when you understand it, then you see on the contrary. You see it's necessary. So there are two aspects of the human being. I mean, that's the godless of Yahadus, is that Yahadus isn't satisfied with just the aspect of the human being that is convinced it's going to be because of the Dvar Hashem. That's very nice. But that's just the beginning. So a person who accepted Tayag Mitzvahs at Sinai, it's very nice. We accepted them. But it's just the beginning. You don't really understand the mitzvah. You don't really understand how it works. So for you, a mitzvah can seem absurd. It doesn't mean that you hold that it's wrong. I mean, a person with Sechel knows that Dvar Hashem is correct. But that doesn't help him insofar as his analysis as a Tzelem Elokim. There are two different dimensions here. It's important to know, to understand the two dimensions. And people that confuse these two dimensions never have a clear idea of what Yahadus is about or what Nevuah is about, the whole system. This is the Yisod in the whole system of Yahadus. There's two dimensions here. A person can know something, but not know something. As long as he doesn't really understand it, it's not a part of him. It doesn't mean unless a person is an utter fool, he's going to say anything that's not a part of me, not a part of my knowledge, doesn't exist. That's a shaita. But I mean, a person knows that there are things he doesn't understand. But as long as he doesn't really understand it specifically, it's not a part of his chachma Ubisar Rosso Yege Yom Avalala. What does Pasuk say? In his Torah, he's Osek day and night. What does it mean, his Torah? It means he understands it. That's the Talmud Chacham. It's just somebody else's Torah, even if it's Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu, is not enough, because it's not his. And when is it his? When he's Kona Torah. How is he Kona Torah? That's the whole thing of being Kona Torah. Memchas Dvarma Torah. Niknis Bohem. Niknis means it's a part of, it's a kinyan, it's a part of your personal first-hand knowledge. That's really the goal of Kol HaTorah Kula, to take the knowledge of Sinai, and to, which is really, in that sense, second-hand, which is Nasa, and to convert it into Nishma, where it's first-hand. The person understands the mitzvah and sees the chachma of the mitzvah and sees why the mitzvah has to be that way and how it's structured. That is the level of, that's the true level of Yudea. Then that mitzvah is something different to him. And the person says, yeah, I know it's true, it's Sinai, I received this mitzvah. As long as you don't understand it really, it's not really, you are not Kona that mitzvah. And you are not, it's not, it's only a part of you in a superficial way. I mean, not an insignificant way. It's significant because you have the direction, but not the ultimate way for man. The ultimate way has to be for you. Otherwise, what are we learning all the time for? What's the whole purpose of learning? You can make everything very simple. You don't need all this. You don't need all this work and all this learning. Obviously, Yahadus demands. Even a moment of Bittul Torah is considered a okay. Why? So what do you know? Why? Because the next minute he's going to know that Torah is more true than before. He already accepted Tayag Mitzvahs. Not talking about a person that has a problem with Amun and Betachem. We're not talking about that. A person that's a Talmud Chacham. But even the biggest Talmud Chacham, insofar as he doesn't know Torah, so that, insofar as that's concerned, it's not really a part of him. That's not the level. I mean, even Moshe Feinstein one time said, to know all of Shas, Be'iyun is impossible. It's impossible. It's something which you again. So that means every time another part of the system becomes clear to you and you understand the sugya, that means the person was kona. Another mitzvah. That's another kiyum of nishma. That's when it's a part of. So we have a phenomenon where you see the navi has the same thing. Every bus of a dom has that because we're limited in our abilities and our intelligence. So even the Navi can know that something's going to happen, but as far as he's concerned, it's impossible. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It means insofar as his das, his analysis is concerned, it's impossible. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu asked him, Asach Yeno Atzomo Seila, Va'omar Hashem Elokim Ata Yadata. Because he was converted from the realm of the impossible in his mind to the realm of the possible. Like a Prince Kasha in the realm, how can the realm say that if it's that Isis HaKlovim is no good because it's Matzah Shein and Mishemeres, it's not even Lechem. So when you hear the question, it's impossible. It's impossible to say that this thing is no good because it's lacking an accident if it's, the whole substance is missing. It's an impossibility. That means in my analysis of the area, it's impossible. Unless you gain further knowledge, your mind is telling you it's impossible. Does that mean you deny the Rambam? Chas v'sholom, that's ridiculous. It means, obviously, the Rambam understood it. You know that the Rambam has had a better Havana, a bigger Rambam than you are, and he had it, and there's an answer for it. It doesn't, but in your Torah, v'sorosso yege, in your realm, it's impossible. You can't deny that. Otherwise, you can't think. So it means that even in Navi, when he is drawn in, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him into the area of the Ashgacha, he doesn't take him in like I told you, Chud Chido, it's a Seichel thing. It means when the Pasuk says in Daniel, V'amaskilim Yavinu, what does it mean, the Maskilim Yavinu? It means that the Navi will have a Yediyah of the Self. The Dvarim could be Chasumim Ustumim, but a maskilim yavinu means that he'll understand. What do you mean he'll understand? He'll know it's going to happen. Everyone knows it's going to happen. As long as you accept the Torah, so you know that the Dvar Hashem doesn't lie, so you know it's going to happen. But what does it mean, ha-maskilim yavinu? It means they'll be able to see and understand the details of the events, how they will unravel and how it has to occur. So that's a different limud. So that's exactly the case with Yechezkel. that Yechezkel had a knowledge of the events. He wasn't an ordinary person like you and me. I mean, he was an individual who was introduced into the realm of how the sequence of events are going to unravel in Klal Yisrael. That's a whole area of Chachmas Hashem. We don't have any access to that. We're not Nevi'im. But he had access to that. So the access that he had to it gave him an area to work on, to understand. And in his realm, when he was working on those elements, it was like the Rambam I explained to you before. Is this something that's impossible? Can't occur. So does that mean that he denies the Dvar Hashem? Chas v'shalom, it's ridiculous. It's the same thing like an individual that is learning a sugya. You learn a sugya, you have a kasha, so it's impossible. You have an answer, you see how it is possible. But insofar as you're concerned, that the moment that you have that kasha, it has to. And if it's not impossible, then you're not learning. Then you're just fooling yourself. You say, I'm a mammon in the Torah, and therefore the Rambam says I'm mammon 100%, he's right. So what good is it? So then you say you're a big amatz. I mean, what I'm saying is, excuse me, to say that God splits the Red Sea just like this, poof, that's it. He can split the Red Sea, he can do this, he can do anything. That's not the way we understand it. We say that the Nisim Shenasu al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Ibn Ezra says that only through him, because he had the knowledge of the Nisim, could only be done through Moshe Rabbeinu, because he had the knowledge of how things work. And a Ness isn't something crazy. A Ness is all, everything is Chochmas Hashem. There's nothing that's not Chochmas. A Ness is something, we're not in that realm, so for us, it's beyond our world of Chochmas. We have a limited world of Chochmas. We could study science, but we can't study Ma'aseh Hashem. And we study Ma'aseh Hashem on a secondary plane. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Nisim were done, he understood tremendous Chochmas in every Ness. It wasn't just HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. There's tremendous chachma in every nation. That's why we say it can only be done through Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything is chachma, Hashem. There's no area that's devoid of chachma. In a nace, in Nisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite chachma. If the Tev is chachma, Nisei Hashem is also chachma, certainly chachma. I mean, when a qualified say which chachma is what level of chachma, it would appear that you have to have a higher level of chachma. Because that's beyond the realm of the Chukiyat Teva. Moshe Rabbeinu understood the Nisim. Nisim of Chochmah. And the Navi who understood how the Gula is going to come about, it wasn't just the Haftacha, that a Kadosh Baruch could do this and could do that, and therefore could do anything. That's a Derech Hedyot. I mean, that's a fool's way of understanding it. But, I mean, of course, we accept it. You have to accept it. Chochmah demands you accept it. But to say there's no Chochmah there, that's impossible. So you can't say that there's no such thing that's a double pashut. Let me put it that way. There's no such thing that is outside the realm of chachma. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so everything has chachma. So we are. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that there's really three ways to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One way is through yediyah. One way is through emunah, and one way is like a fool. That's true. As I say a fool, I don't mean derogatorily. I mean, you have to understand. I mean, there's a certain kind of a fool that's good. Like David Melech, Yedias Hashem is one way. The next way is through Amunah. In Amunah, you know you have an idea. You see, you have an idea of the realm, but you don't fully understand it. But then there's an area where you don't understand at all. Like David Melech says, was it Tilamayim Gimel? You ever tell him over here? It's the old logical problem. I don't mean it derogatorily. I mean Tillam Ayin Gimel. Tillam Ayin Gimel Pasuk Chaf Beis. So Donal says, "Va'ani var v'lo edo behemos ha'yisimach." What do you mean, behemos ha'yisimach? It means I'm like a behemoth. It means I have no understanding whatsoever of this. That's what it means. Va'ani bar v'lo edo behemos ha'yisimach. So there are certain areas we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a behemoth. We realize we have simply no das whatsoever. We know it's true, but we have no das whatsoever. But that is, that's what I'm saying. I don't mean it derogatorily. That's like Rashi says, a yisi bar v'lo yisi yodeya mahi hamido v'ke behema ha yisi imach. Okay?
So,
So the thing is that there's a way to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibbehema, but that's intelligent. That's good. So I'm not saying it derogatorily. We relate insofar as our concept of nisim, we're like fools. Yeah, like absolute fools. I mean, then we're like behemoth sisimach. We know the nes, but we're like a behemoth. But that is not, that's not what you strive for. I mean, you strive to remove yourself from that category and reach the category of das. And the same thing with the Navi. When the Navi understood the historical development of Klal Yisrael, it's a historical development. It's a concatenation of events. It's a chain. It's chachma of how this, of how the whole thing will unravel. Not just going to happen, poof, magic. It's a whole, everything is chachma Hashem. Hashem doesn't work with anything but chachma. There's no such thing as a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all chachma, the source of all das, and everything that comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu is all chachma. We don't understand the chachma, but it's all chachma. So when the Navi was a very privileged individual, I mean, he was able to understand the chachma of history, the historical chachma of Klal Yisrael. It's a whole science, and that science the Navi had access to. We don't have access to it, but it doesn't mean that we should think that it doesn't exist. So the Navi, in his analysis of that area, he was of the conclusion that according to the analysis, impossible. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him the Marian Avua with the Atzamas Yaveshos, and then he understood exactly how it's going to happen. And then he saw the answer, you see. And once he saw the answer, he was a different individual insofar as that area of knowledge is concerned. You understand it? Clear? That's what I said. There's two stages. The reason is because the first stage was what the Rambam says, that our nature overpowers us, and you have a moment of chachma, of a clear vision, and the, like a lightning bolt, but then our nature comes back, and we're in darkness again. So the Navi was before the Nevuah. He couldn't fathom it, and the elements that he had and that were made available to him through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in his understanding of it, he couldn't make any sense. It was impossible. What were his problems? We don't know his problems. I mean, we don't have access to that kind of knowledge. That's Haviyani HaMelech HaDorov. Certain people have been fortunate to be able to enter those chadarim, the chadrei HaMelech. So then they have different information. They work on different problems. And they work on different problems than we work. I'm trying to say that there is a science and a knowledge. Science maybe is not the right word, because science really has to do with the laws of nature. But knowledge is the proper word. There is a knowledge of the unraveling of the Geula. We don't have that knowledge. But you see from Daniel, the way Daniel talks about it, Hamaskilim Yavino, Dvorim Stumim Vachasumim, but there is a knowledge and there is a quote science to that as well. It's not just magic. There's no area just magic. We don't have that. Everything is Chachmas Hashem. Harab Masachad Hashem, Kulam B'Chachmas Hashem. Everything. So Chesed Hashem is Chachmas Hashem. What was the Mari Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Sakosi Chapi Lechwad Ovri. I mean, Varisa Sachar from the Leiro. But there's Chachma. There was all Chachmas Hashem. Yigimu Midas is all infinite Chachmas Hashem. And we can only, Moshe Rabbeinu can only grasp a little bit of it. But as a matter of fact, I mean, the Chazal that I mentioned of Yochanan was that if there was one little hole the size of the eye of a needle of that light, he wouldn't be able to stand there, which means that qualitatively he grasped nothing. It's just on his level. Just on his level, because he's a bus of Adam. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, even the Adon Anavim, does not grasp, cannot say he has a part of the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch. It's on his level. But the real knowledge, even a fraction, he would die. So it's all knowledge in terms of the Tzelem Elokim, and Moshe Rabbeinu was was the highest Tzelamalek in the Adon HaNaviim, Sechel Nifrod, like the Rambam says. In spite of that, the knowledge that he had was not real knowledge. It was his knowledge. For him, for the Tzelamalekim, it was the ultimate knowledge. But real knowledge, if there's a hole the size of a needle, he would die. So that ore could not penetrate that cave. So that's really that's the concept of Chachmas Hashem. It's infinite. But the unraveling of the Geula is Chachma. Everything. If you look at the Pesukim, just take a look at the Pesukim at the end of Daniel. You'll see how many times it says Maskilim and the Rishoyim and the Peritzei Amcho, and it's all Chachmas Hashem. Once the Mara Nevuah took place, he was removed from his familial environment, and then he was able to see it objectively. So he saw at Hashem Elokim Ata Yadata. He saw as possible. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu proceeded to give him, to unravel the Nevuah so that he could gain more insight into how it will actually occur. And then he understood the concatenation of events and how it will take place. And then when he saw it, then he could go and tell Klal Yisrael, Lech, go, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now you can go tell Klal Yisrael that Hineni Paseches Kivasechem Valesi Esrem Alad Maschem. The biggest mistake, if you ask me, the biggest mistake that great thinkers make, if you look in history, even the greatest thinkers, is that one thing that Yahadis teaches a person. And that is, Vani Barvalo Edol Behemos Hayisi Imach. That a person has to be able to say he absolutely doesn't understand it. And not constantly try to find answers. You see, that's what the Rav always emphasize that, and the Masorah from Rav Chaim. I mean, that is extremely important. I mean, everybody knows if Albert Einstein would have said he didn't know when he came out with his first theories, if he would have, instead of trying to make changes in order to comply with the idea of science of a static universe, if he wouldn't have done that, and he would have followed the inclination of the equations that he had, he would have predicted what he didn't find out to 30 years later, that Hubble showed through the telescope. So what was his mistake? He said it was the biggest mistake in his life. What was the mistake? His mistake was, he should have said, "Ani barvelo eda behemos ayisi yimach," and this is the way the equations go, and there was a creation, and then he would have been an individual that would have made the most astounding as his theories were, it would have been, in terms of a prediction, it would have been 100 times more astounding. But it's the nature of man, is that he wants to think that he knows, and he has to get answers. There's another great thinker who would have made a very good prediction if he would have said, you know, but I'll don't tell me some other time. It's very hard for a person, even the greatest thinker, very hard, because a person wants answers. And it's very hard to say you don't know. But that's it. That's the way it is. That's the biggest godless Adam, if a person can tolerate the fact that he's ignorant. Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu, what does the Torah show about Moshe Rabbeinu? The first thing you see, the Moshe Rabbeinu says, the Neasnet Bar Ba'esh, Vasnein and Uko, Surano Ve'eres Hamara Godlazer. Madua lo yivasna. So what drew Moshe Rabbeinu was the paradox. The paradox. That's what drew him. It wasn't an answer. It was a kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu would have tried to give an answer, so then he would have gone away.